Let's jump, dive, and plunge right into the world of AI and wealth management.
I think we should make use of AI, but we should stay cautious in a way when it comes to data protection and the risks it has to the system.
Welcome to the Swiss Money Secrets Podcast, a podcast designed to cover all things offshore investing and banking from the Swiss perspective. Let's get into it.
So, hi, and welcome back. It's been a month, but we're back at it. Jamie and Urs fresh off vacation. You're both glowing. The beach looked like it was wonderful. Today, we're going to be talking about AI and wealth management. Quite an interesting topic, a buzzword that's going around the world and has been driving certain companies' stock prices sky high. But we're going to talk about what it looks like in terms of the actual wealth management and how wealth managers interact with it and how it affects clients and in general. Before we get into that, we're going to be talking about some news, surprising news that came out last week. Maybe, Urs, you can tell the audience what happened.
Yes, the Swiss National Bank decided to decrease or lower interest rates by 25 basis points, which was quite surprising to the market. I think it was a good move, but what it means for the currency, the economy, and Switzerland as being a member or part of the global financial system, we will discuss in our weekly podcast, which we will show tomorrow.
Correct. Yeah. So those of you listening to this, Urs and I do a weekly market review. Each week it's released on Fridays, sometimes Wednesdays, depending on if we're on vacation or not, where we cover the macroeconomic topics happening around the world and things that will be affecting the markets. It's a short 10-minute podcast that people can get all of the important financial news or economic data quickly and get kind of the Swiss perspective and how it affects the market. So look for that out tomorrow. We're excited to be recording that. With that, let's jump, dive, and plunge right into the world of AI and wealth management. Just quickly, artificial intelligence as a definition is a computer that can do, replicate, and mimic the tasks that a human brain can do. So that's kind of the overall definition of what AI is. Now we have seen a long transformation over time of digitalization in the asset management world and how AI has been slowly implementing itself into our workflow. So maybe Jamie, you could kick us off by talking just a bit about, you know, how we've seen that impact our working lives and maybe the clients would have seen it in their interactions.
AI, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. I think maybe we can take a step back. Why we are now talking about it, or why everyone has been talking about it over the past few months, is because generative AI has become very easily available. So there would be a tool like, for example, ChatGPT is probably the most well-known tool. And while AI has been around for a long time, as you mentioned, for example, your face recognition, like if you're unlocking your phone, that is one way of how AI is working. A lot of like the search algorithms are what we would call AI now. So this is not necessarily something new, but what is new is that it is as easy as Googling something is coming up with text through language models that are easily accessible or sometimes even free. So I think in the wealth management industry, particularly in Switzerland, things sometimes move a bit slowly compared to other industries, especially compared to the technology sector. And I just read a study this morning that was published by a university here in cooperation with UBS, a Swiss bank, and they asked wealth managers in Switzerland how often or if they use AI at all in their day-to-day activities or if they're planning to use it. And less than 5% said that they are using AI, which I found to be surprisingly low, because when I talk to friends, colleagues, in our generation, I think everyone just out of pure curiosity has tried to use AI in one way or another, be it for work or for their private life, just because it's a fun and interesting tool to play around. So I don't think very broadly that AI is going to change our world anytime soon. I think there's a lot of like repetitive tasks, a lot of like communication, marketing tasks that can be done through AI. I expect that there will be more applications of AI in portfolio management as well. But as with many things in our industry, it will be a slow development, I think, and it will take a longish time until the majority of the players are going to implement it. And even if they are going to implement it in like administrative or marketing capabilities, I don't really think it is going to change the core business entirely anytime soon.
Yeah, I think it is interesting to hear that less than 5% of the people in the banks are using AI, which is fascinating. Similar
wealth management,
excuse me. But it's interesting to see, because also colleagues that I have who work in wealth management, you know, tell me they use it almost daily.
Yeah.
And so it is interesting to see kind of that dichotomy and how technology is used over time. I mean, there were, I think it was in the early 2000s, the first robot, you know, investors or wealth managers were in place, and they kind of had a little sharp shoot off of like interesting, but then kind of fell through the wayside because they didn't actually deliver a higher performance than your financial advisor, your investment advisor. But as we mentioned, it's something that's been around for quite some time. These things are developing, and it's, you know, it'll be interesting to see at what pace, how much faster it goes now that it's open to the public.
Yeah, and I think in regards to the questionnaire or the study that came out, it always depends who you're asking. And as Jamie has said, a lot of repetitive tasks are very privileged for using AI, and the people they are usually asking are the people who are doing like the investment decisions, and so the answer can differ quite a bit on who in a certain company you ask.
Yeah,
I mean, if we look at the different tasks that we have in our team, I mean, you do more on the portfolio management mm-hmm. side of things, and I do a lot of like the content creation together with Jess, where we have a lot of like educational pieces online where we talk about certain concepts, where it can be extremely helpful and time saving if you're good at prompting to ask the model, for example, to proofread your text. Like even before ChatGPT came out, we have used Grammarly, for example, to, because most of us are not native English speakers, so it helps to have like AI go through your text, or you can use ChatGPT to come up with like an investment example that you could also come up with yourself, but it might take you half an hour, 45 minutes. So I think for me personally, it's a positive thing, because with all the regulatory changes and compliance requirements that came up over the past few years, this is now finally a change in our industry that is going to save time instead of like add more bureaucracy. But again, I do a lot of the communication side of things, where I think it is easier to implement a generative AI tool than, for example, in the construction of a portfolio.
Yeah.
And I think it's also important to not lose your critical thinking. And
oh,
I think that's almost the most important part, that you can use it for assistance, for getting ideas, but you have to stay critical, to go read through it. You can't just copy paste it and send it to a client or put it on social media or whatever.
Yeah, and especially when it comes to like the portfolio management, I mean, you need knowledge and understanding of how to prompt it. I mean, the checking is very important, but you already need to have a certain level of understanding in a topic to create meaningful responses. And I think that's also, you mentioned robo advisors, which I actually wrote my final thesis on in university. And back then it was like a big hype and everyone thought like, oh, wealth managers are going out of business and this is it now. But people, when it comes to their finances, it's such an important and such a personal topic. They want and need another human being that they can trust. And even if that human being works with technology, uses computers to assist, uses models or AI or back in the day Excel to exist, whatever it may be, people want to work with people, and I think this is not going to change. I think most in our industry would agree that that's not going to change. I would think most of our clients are going to agree that that's not going to change, especially in the business that we are in. If you're in cross-border wealth management, or if you have another niche specialization, it's not as easy as just putting an ETF into a portfolio. You really need to have a good understanding of the regulatory framework. You need to have a lot of experience. You need to have good contacts. And again, while I think certain specific tasks can be outsourced, it all has to come back together to a human being, to a person who's available to do a little bit of handholding when things are a bit tough, to explain questions, to just be there, show empathy. I think our job goes way beyond just putting together a portfolio. It's about helping people sleep better at night. And for myself, I think if the only contact person I would have would be like an algorithm, that wouldn't necessarily put me at ease very much.
Yeah, definitely. You see it already these days. I mean, with many big corporations, I mean, as long as everything is fine and good, there is no issue at all. And they sometimes have their chatbots, which are also run by artificial intelligence. And as soon as you have an issue, I mean, they are useless.
Yeah.
And it's really bad. It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
And especially in wealth management industry, I mean, these are like individuals that have or that worked hard for their money, they achieved something, built something up, and they want to have this individualistic solution and want someone to take care immediately if something comes up.
Yeah, and also take responsibility.
Yeah.
Sometimes it also helps if you can share your frustrations with someone and have someone, like, for example, apologize to you. A computer can't really do that. And I think another very important topic that we haven't really discussed so far is all of the regulatory concerns and the privacy concerns. I mean, we now currently at WHP, we use some generative AI for things like creating some content, for example, or summarizing some concepts in an easier way. But we never use it for anything like client related. We never use it for client data. We never use it for anything portfolio related, because there we have to be very careful who owns the data, where does the information go through. We here in Switzerland, but particularly also in our company, have very high standards when it comes to cybersecurity and privacy protection. And just right now, if you don't have like an in-house solution that was programmed by yourself, where you know where the server is, where you know who owns the data and the information and all of that, we don't feel comfortable using AI for anything that's related to our core business. And I don't think that that's going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, and I think that brings up kind of that further, the risk factors of using AI, as you mentioned, you know, where the data is going, where it's being used. And at the end, to have a really good grasp of that, you have to be or have a pretty strong understanding of coding. So that if you were to use an AI, and even if it was an external, say an AI assistant for some back office stuff, you need to be able to understand the code so that you know, is there any siphoning of data?
Yeah.
Are there any loopholes that we're missing here in our contracts? And so there has to be, you know, a very kind of deep understanding. I think the general public doesn't have that. And so that's going to take some time for implementation in the long run in general. Even if companies who are offering these, you know, are very straightforward, that's always a risk that you have to play with, a bad actor in that company, whatever. And so those are challenges that AI presents just in the working context of how much responsibility can we trust? Because at the end, this is a trust business. As you mentioned, you know, that person wants that connection. You know, the chatbots, I never use them because they, as you said, they're always useless. Whenever I see a chatbot now, I ignore it. I don't, it's like an advertisement. I don't care about it at all.
Yeah.
And I think it's become kind of the new automated voice answering machine that these big corporations have. And personally, when I get an automated voice message or I get a chatbot and there's nowhere for me to talk to a person when I'm trying to solve a problem, I don't want anything to do with that company anymore. And so I think on that side, where AI certainly has benefits, it's a tool. And it will, for the foreseeable future, especially in wealth management, be just that, just a simple tool.
Yeah. And I mean, for us, we have such a high emphasis on knowing our clients. Everyone, like, we're a team of 5 people. 4 of us have regular contact with our clients, and we know all of our clients. We know the backstories, a little bit about their family, even if they're not our clients, because sometimes we're on vacation, someone's on a business trip, and if someone else picks up the phone, we know who we are talking to, because we know how important it is to have the personal connection, especially in a business where we are physically quite far removed from the client. So we wouldn't want to have additional burdens of making it less personal. We want to be there for our clients as human beings, for them as human beings, and a chatbot or anything like that would just severely interfere with that.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, I think on the investment side, that's maybe something we haven't quite touched on. I know Urs and I, and Jamie, probably you have well, have went to, fun AI fund managers, presentations of how AI works. And what I think is interesting is, and still to this day, I haven't seen one that's been able to beat their benchmark. They've gotten close to being able to perform with it, but beating it is also interesting. And I think there's that kind of that gut feeling of investing also can't be captured in AI.
Yeah, I think when it comes to investing, you have to think about when building an artificial intelligence code. I mean, it really depends on what culture are you in. So someone building an AI system in the US will build it differently than someone in India or Thailand or whatsoever. And so it might be that there are some fund managers or some programmers that are able to outperform the market, as in reality also some classical fund managers or investment managers are. But there are, every now and then, there are events that are coming up which not even an AI model can predict. I mean, so let's say the corona crisis, like the lockdowns and everything. I mean, I have looked through some different AI funds. They all crashed at the same time as the market in general. And I think it is also very important, and that's where the regulation will come in again, to understand that the risk it has to the system. Because if an algorithm starts to react to a certain event, it can be much, much stronger, because this algorithm doesn't have the critical thinking we were talking about just before, and so it will just sell, and then there will be the next trigger point. And we have seen that with a crash, I think it was back in 2011, where also through an algorithm doing our coming to a wrong conclusion, there was a crash in the market in certain industries. And that is something we really have to keep in mind.
Yeah, and I think for us, creating, again, individualized and tailorized portfolios and AI solution is, again, probably not going to be something that we are seeking out anytime soon. But similar to the communication and educational point, I think AI can be very helpful when it comes to researching the company,
yeah, yes.
Right? When you have a person like one of us three, who understands markets, who understands financial analysis and all that comes with it, then you can use AI, for example, to condense like a financial report, or you can ask for like a second opinion from an AI tool. So I think, again, those like helping or support functions can definitely be taken over by an AI, but again, not the whole thing.
Yeah.
Great. With that, do we have any final thoughts that we want to leave with our clients / listeners / audience?
I think for me, the final thought would be AI is interesting. It is a fun enhancement for like back office tasks. It is not going to revolutionize our day-to-day work anytime soon in as big of a way as a lot of people predict.
Yeah, I almost agree. I would even say not only interesting, it is valuable. I think we should make use of AI, but we should stay cautious in a way when it comes to data protection and the risks it has to the system. But we should really use it, and I think it will have an impact to make processes more efficient and also the service to our clients better.
Thanks again for joining us on this episode of the Swiss Money Secrets podcast. If you would like to learn more about WHVP and what we do, check us out on our website at whvp.ch. Or you can check us out on any of our social media handles on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram by simply searching WHVP. Have a great rest of your day.